Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday, where we follow up on some things that came up briefly during the week and dig a little deeper for our last follow-up today, stemming from a discussion about public education and middle-income parents. Sandra Singh Lowe was on the show. Maybe you heard her talking about this idea of hers that she wrote up in The Atlantic, basically that middle-class parents should send their children to the local public school, that these public schools need the more advantaged students to help raise the level of education. Here's a question I asked her and a bit of a discussion. It's about a minute. Why can't public education be good as you're saying it is in many of these neighborhood schools without all those middle-class families who are escaping or abdicating or doing whatever
it is they're
doing.
Or bringing the overpriced Taekwondo to their school.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of answers to that. For English learner children, unfortunately, I think as low as just 1 in 5 of them actually get in the course of their childhood to have one native English-speaking friend. And if they have one native English-speaking friend in their panoply, they can leap forward so quickly because they hear the language articulated in a different way. You know, aside from what one might hear on the Disney Channel, it really is enormously helpful for them to have even one friend who speaks English at
middle-class, whatever, native English-speaking parents are hearing this and saying, well, wait, why is that my child's job? And isn't that going to hold my child back from reading at the most upper level that he or she possibly can?
Well, I think also those parents have to look at the global world we live in now. It really behooves them to know a couple of brown-skinned kids, which many of them don't.
So that was from earlier in the week with Sandra Singh Lowe. And let's follow up on a piece of that conversation. Is the best way to help disadvantaged schools and kids to have wealthier parents involved? To follow up on that question, we have Eva Moskowitz, former city council member, former education committee chair in the New York City Council. And she has left the council and went on to found the Harlem Success Academy and is opening 3 more charter schools this summer. She's also a mother who sends her kids to her local public school on the East Side. So Eva Moskowitz, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So let's cut right to the heart of it. What I heard from some minority folks was, wait a minute, this presumption of Sandra Singh Lowe that we need mostly white, upper middle class kids coming into our schools in order for the schools to be good. No, no, no. We need equal funding. We need other things that make a school good in and of itself. We don't need your white middle class imports. What do you think?
Well, I think the presumption that schools can only be great if you have middle class people of whatever race and ethnicity is just factually incorrect. We have some great schools that serve a exclusively minority population, excellence all-boys school in Bedford Stuy, Achievement First in East New York, and I would argue Harlem Success in Harlem. So it doesn't, the racial or class composition of the school, it seems to me, does not make for excellence or mediocre. It's the quality of the instruction that makes for educational excellence.
What do you think about her general idea of parents using their kids, in effect, to achieve social justice? You heard her answer there about providing, in effect, a native English speaker for schools that may be full of mostly immigrants.
Well, I think it's somewhat utopian to think, if desirable, to think that middle-class people of whatever race or ethnicity are going to choose a child for choose a school for their kid based on some larger abstract. And I would even argue that, you know, one has a moral obligation to one's own children to provide them with excellence. And if you're, you know, kind of putting, you know, some theoretical, ideological argument ahead of that, that doesn't serve one's kids very well. And I just don't think most people are likely to do that. It seems very counterintuitive. Your kid only goes through first grade once. You have an obligation to get them as, you know, the best education you possibly can.
Now, you've said, as I understand, that even though the corner schools are often pretty good, the things in which they are lacking aren't things that parents can fix alone. So Sandra Ting Lo gave the example of a school gym that parents could take the money that they would be throwing at a private education, pool those resources, you know, and when you think that parents are spending, I don't know what, you know, $20,000 a year, or maybe it's more, to send their kids to the Riverdale Academy, or who knows, go to the local school, put that same money into the PTA, you know, and get a better gym and better textbooks and fund an arts teacher and whatever else, that's a model for improving neighborhood education. What do you think?
Well, the $20,000 figure in New York City, unfortunately, is not even accurate. It's about $40,000 a kid. And she made the argument that if the four kids on her block who send the four families that send their kids to private school pooled the 20 grand, that they could get a new gymnasium for the local school if they didn't get in their station wagons and drive their kids and drop them off at the private school. Maybe that's true in some communities, but if you know anything about the School Construction Authority in New York City, you know that a gym costs millions and millions of dollars, and your kid could graduate from college by the time that gym is actually built, even if you had the millions. Unfortunately, the New York City school system remains quite impervious to parent pressure. It's true of middle-class families. It's also true of poor families. Everybody has trouble moving this monolithic, very bureaucratic system to be customer-oriented and responsive to the needs of parents.
So we have a few minutes for phone calls on this. Let's restrict this. If anybody, I realize it's the middle of the school day, but in case we have parents or teachers or principals from inner city neighborhoods, maybe who even heard Sandra Ting Lo the other day, what do you think about as kind of a moral imperative for middle class or upper middle class parents to send their kids to the neighborhood schools for the benefit of your children? Do you like that idea? Do you find that a community building, social justice oriented approach to being a middle or upper middle class family in New York City, or do you find it kind of condescending? Call us, 212-433-WNYC. We only have a few minutes for this, so call us right now and you'll get right on. 212-433-9692 with Eva Moskowitz, founder of the Harlem Success Academy. She's opening three more charter schools this summer, all in Harlem, Eva?
Yes, that's correct.
And do I understand correctly that you don't take your kids from the Upper East Side to school with you in Harlem? They go to their neighborhood. They go to a quote, good school on the Upper East Side.
My oldest child is in public school. It's actually a downtown school. And my youngest children are still in pre-K.
I see. Okay. Let's see. Should we just go through some of these calls? Can I go right to Jackson in Brooklyn here? Jackson, you're on the air. Hi, Jackson.
Hi. The comment that the speaker made about middle class.
Yeah, you might want to turn your radio off, and you'll get the delay out of your ear. That'll make it a little easier.
Sorry. Well, I think the idea that middle class parents are a little more involved with. There we go. Are a little bit more involved. I think that. Middle-class families tend to be more conscious of their children's education. They do attend PTA meetings. They make sure that their children do homework.
So you're a teacher, right?
I happen to be a teacher.
In an inner-city school? Mostly poor, mostly minority?
Mostly poor, mostly minority in the South Bronx.
So would you want Sandra Ting Lo's model to prevail? That would help your school, in your opinion?
Well, I just believe that there needs to be a bit more of an effort for schools to get parents involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that middle class, you know, bringing middle class families into schools is going to solve mm-hmm. it. I think that there needs to be some type of effort made by the system,
right.
something that's going to make
to enable greater involvement by the exactly. parents who were there. Jackson, I have to leave it there to get some other people on. Jonathan is also in the South Bronx. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I'm calling to say that basically as a teacher in the South Bronx and having taught at two schools in the South Bronx, I found that both of the schools are equally segregated, having basically only African Americans and Latino students. And their exposure to other cultures is incredibly minimal. Basically, the Chinese people that own the Chinese restaurant on the corner, and that's about it. And so I feel as students developing into human beings with a global perspective, they need to have students from other backgrounds besides their own.
Jonathan, thank you. And Sam in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I think that the best solution is somewhere in between. And what I mean by this is basically looking at it in a psychological context. Research has shown that exposure to various cultures is actually good for individuals in general. As they grow older, they're not hit with some type of surprise, so to speak, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
When they face different cultures. And as we know and are aware of, most of the students that attend private school are white students, so white middle-class students. So in having said that, they have minimal exposure to different cultures, which is a detriment to their maturing process, so to speak, later on in their lives. And integrating them into public schools, I don't know if that's truly the appropriate answer or the correct way to resolve this. There has to be somewhere in between.
Sam, you're gonna we're gonna have to go and get an answer because we're running out of time. But Eva Moskowitz, he's talking about getting more poor public school kids into private schools as an alternative model. I don't know if in a way that's what you feel you're doing by starting charter schools, which critics of charter schools call pseudo-private schools.
We're not. Obviously, we're public schools by law. It's just that we deliver excellence, and we have great parent participation. I just did a science night, and we had more than 90% of our parents at the event. So I just think I think we're better off here understanding that both middle-class parents and poorer parents want a choice. They want a choice for their kids. They want a good school. Sometimes that involves, if you're affluent enough, moving to the suburbs. Sometimes that involves a great neighborhood school. If you're poor, charters or poorer, charters are one of the ways to get that choice.
And that has to be where we leave it because we're out of time. Eva Moskowitz, good luck with your schools. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having me.
And we want to thank all the producers who worked on the show this week, our regulars, Jody Abergun and Lisa Allison, plus our executive producer, Nuala McGovern, off blogging in Uganda at the moment, and people who've rotated through this week, Taylor Orsi, Kate Hines, Valerie Lipinski, and Eileen Markey, plus our interns, David Elson and Paige Cowett, who have helped hold up the structure, Debbie Daughtry and Zach Marsh at the audio controls this week. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer.